that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
And we'll even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's green and wet and dewy and 49 degree Radio Ranch this morning. I can tell you that on this July 28th. Unseasonably cool weather that we're having here, but the Lord is good. He knows what he's doing. Well, good morning, men. We'll start with our brother Tim over in Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining us. And good morning, Jason.
Morning.
And last but certainly not least, good morning to the Ramrod. Good morning, brother Jonathan.
Good morning.
And we do say good morning to you, the remnant, that are joining us from sea to shining sea and, well, up in Canada. And I know we've got a couple at least down in Mexico that listen to us. And Costa Rica, Miss Frances down there, I know she tunes in, and all over the world. And so we welcome you this morning as well. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to open up with prayer, and then we'll have the phone lines open and see what's going on in the world. And Jason, we'll ask you to open in prayer for us, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask for your blessing upon us this morning. We ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction we are to go this morning, Father. We pray that you be with the remnant across this land, that you tend to their needs, Father. As we, your people, cry out to you, Jesus, save us. Save us from the hands of our enemies, those that seek to destroy us, Father, those that seek to have us wiped off this planet, Father. We ask that you deal with them as you see fit, that you protect us, that you give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power, and authority over all the forces of hell, the spiritual forces of wickedness, and each and every force that comes against us. We pray that you empower us, that you just do a mighty work in us and through us, Father, and that you bless us and that you allow us to be a light into a dark world, Father, that you allow us to be a blessing to the nations. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
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 Amen. And Well, the phone lines will be open this morning, 307-745-5913. And I'll lead off with this last couple days in the news that President Trump was at the Hot Strip Mill, and some people might think bad about that, but that is a reopened U.S. steel plant in Granite City, Illinois, that has recently reopened. They've hired back up to 300 anyway, the people that were laid off here in the last several years, and hiring more people. And so here's more jobs. Here is a quote the president, he says, to see an old big monster plant like this opening, that is an honor. And as he does his little speech, I don't know if you watch him, but it sure seems to me that whether good or bad, he tells the people not necessarily what they want to hear, but he speaks their language. He speaks to the people just like this. To see an old big monster plant like this opening, that's an honor. See, that's, to me, it seems like that's genuine. Maybe, I don't think I'm naive in this, but it just seems genuine. As opposed in the past when we would hear, well, because of our astute things that we have done, we are more than happy to see this, you know, we have opened up this new to be modernized plant, and on and on and on. Of course, our president says, you know, a lot of it has to do with the tariffs, to where the subsidized cheap steel imports from places like China have been flooding the U.S. market. That's changing now, and that's a good thing. He goes on and says, you know, our steel towns have become ghost towns, and he says, now we are negotiating better terms. And I like that. I do. I like that term. I like hearing that.
Especially when you look at the past president who said that times are changing. These jobs are gone, and they're never coming back. And, you know, and then when Trump said that we can get to 4% GDP, everyone, even the expert economists, said it wasn't possible. 3% would be a stretch, and this and that. And but the thing I think Trump understands is without manufacturing, a country cannot be strong.
Yes.
You know, they're saying that the manufacturing jobs are gone and they're never coming back. Well, they are coming back, and those are good jobs. Those are jobs that pay a decent wage and that families have existed for generations on those kind of jobs as they pass them down through their kin. So it's good to see.
Yeah. They're reporting that more jobs have been created as a result of the steel and aluminum tariffs than have been lost. I know that there's a lot of concern with the farmers right now about food exports declining. But it's coming back around. And you're right about that 4%. The first estimate of second quarter gross domestic product looks like it will be 4% or more. And we haven't seen that.
4.1 yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, we have not seen that in the last... Well, we certainly didn't see it in the previous 8 years. We didn't at all.
No. Yeah.
And so, again...
It's comical, the news basically... I was listening to, you know, mainstream news, even on the radio, supposedly conservative radio, and they were saying that, well, this is the first time that the GDP has been this high since 2014, and I'm thinking, you lying?
Yeah, right.
2014, seriously? I don't think it got...
Exactly.
Yeah.
The time Obama Nation was in office.
No, it's more like 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what they do.
It's interesting The whole thing with the trade wars thing, you know, I mean, they were, I was listening yesterday to, Trump did an interview, and he was talking about how the trade wars, they want to call it a trade war, and he said, it's not a trade war. He said, it's just developing equity in, you know, international trade. He said the tariffs that they're charging us are 300%, and we get nothing, you know, and we're basically taking a beating. And he said, you know, the trade deficit is over $470 billion or something like that. He said, if I could cut that by 50%, he said, that's the easiest money we'll ever make, you know, as far as helping put the country back to work and everything. And it's true, and it's biblical even. I mean, you know, when you get into the Bible, Matthew 17:24-26, read that. You know, Christ told Simon, he said, who do the kings of the earth take custom, and that's a tariff, of their own children or of strangers. So, and Jesus said, well, when you take that tariff off of the foreigners, then the children are free, you know. So I think that it's just another form of slavery here with what's been going on, and it hurts the country more than just that way, because it kills our industry, it kills our middle class, and it damages all of those things across the country. But I think that goes back into it's some more of those wars and rumors of wars that we see being talked about in the Bible in Matthew 24:5-7, you know, they're wars and rumors. We got trade wars, we got drug wars, a lot of times we think about and I'm guilty of it, I think about the wars all over the place, that, you know, Afghanistan, Iran, you know, and all these and those, but there's tons of wars, and they even use the word in our face about all those things. That, and you know, they want tribute for those wars, for the drug wars, for the you know, trade wars, for the, all these other things that they want to create. And it's like, no, that's just a rumor. That's not there's no reality to it. So I think it's kind of it to me, it's opening the eyes of people as God continues to work in our nation.
Amen.
Amen. It is good seeing that things are better. Things are better. Went over to the Frontier Days. They've got the big rodeo going on over in Cheyenne, and was pleased to see, you know, it's somewhat of a carnival when you walk around in there, but they have quite a bit for sale as well. But was pleased to see more Made in America stuff, things like flags and flagpoles, and leather goods that were not just imported from China, and have not seen that amount in the past. And so again, I think better applies. And we're seeing it all over the spectrum from, you know, the jobs. Jason and I were talking about, Jason, you were mentioning this past week about the fairly good paying jobs, $15 an hour jobs that are available down there in the Fort Collins area. And we're seeing that up here as well, that, you know, very little jobless. Even for the summer. And a lot of times for the summer, when you have all the high school children or kids that are out of school that are kind of filling in, whether it's at McDonald's or over at the gas station, the convenience stores, that type of thing, they're working, seeing boys out cutting grass in town. And it just seems a bit better that there's work, that there's... and I think it is. It's a different spirit in the land of people wanting to go out and work and go and do, as opposed to the previous 8 years when it was, well, just see what the government can do for you and can give to you. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913.
It's interesting when you think of this administration versus the past administrations, which we know there's really not a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and Republicans, and they've all been infiltrated by the enemies and bought and paid for by the lobbyists. And But to have an outsider who comes in, and really he's come in with a radical conservative approach, which many of us have endorsed for years, but you can see, so it's like an extreme on the conservative side. But what we're seeing, I think the Lord showed this to me the other day, but and probably everybody else has already seen it, but anyways, the Democrats now are thinking, well, if that works for the Republicans as far as the radical conservatives coming to light, conservatism coming to light, then why not let's go to Democratic extremism, and you can see it. I mean, right now they're talking about basically no longer hiding the fact that they are socialists and communists and, you know, abolish ICE and all of these things that are totally radical that they used to at least try to hide, the fact that they want to impeach President Trump if they get the House back, the fact that they want to repeal the tax cuts, all of these things, they're not hiding like they used to hide. So it almost seems like they're trying to use the same formula as the Republicans have used as far as radical conservatism. What do you think?
I agree. I think you're absolutely on the money, John. I mean, I think that this new, it's not really new, but they're couching it as new. The radical liberalism is to give away, redistribute. What are they got? One of these new moves that's coming out is minimum basic income, or guaranteed. Basically, you get paid a baseline income for not working, and they've got they wanted to, you know, dismantle ICE. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. You can get to going on it, but it's I mean, if someone else from outside your country was facilitating or putting forward these ideas, we'd call that war against us. If they were coming in and trying to destroy our country, dismantle it, you know, that's kind of the technique that they're using, and they call it radical liberalism. So, I think we call it communism or socialism or whatever word you want to hang on it. It's not good.
Yep. Should call it what,
well,
it is.
You know,
treason.
You just look at that abolish ICE campaign that they've got going on. You know, here's just a little bit of an article that happened this week. It's bad enough that ICE potential angry leftists can't even come up with a truthful, coherent, and logical reason to why they suddenly hate immigration and customs enforcement so much, but it's even worse when they're willing to destroy government property and create an environment hazard to display their hate. And basically, if you've seen what's happened out there in Portland, Oregon, it was amazing. I mean, they went in there. You talk about warfare. It is warfare. It's warfare between one side and another. I mean, they deficit. They crapped all over the place and smeared it all over the walls, all over the sidewalks, everything. They had to bring in private contractors to clean it up. I mean, and they said that it was just, I mean, it was completely disgusting. It was a health hazard. Nobody could even be around in that area, and they did it to, you know, stop ICE. I mean, and that was their whole goal. You know, they were disgusting, but you look at that and you see that, you know, these are the kind of people that are attacking the president and attacking this country. You know, they want to make this country great again and in their own way, and this is how they want to do it. They're sick. They're messed up. They're disgusting.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
A depraved mind is what they are. What they have, a depraved mind.
Yeah, there's a lot of scriptures that tell us about these kind of people. Actually, that's part of what my message is tomorrow, but pretty much the enemy within. That are no longer hiding the fact that they are of their father, the devil. Come only to steal, kill, and destroy.
It's interesting how much of this salmonella stuff we're seeing going on right now. I mean, all these food recalls and everything else, crackers and meals and all of that, and that kind of all ties back into the whole dung heap thing that Jason was talking about. I mean, we've got this stuff going on all over. They come in and all these things go on, and it's the terror sticking their head up, like, you know, I think. So we see them come kill. What do? They come in and they want to, you know, steal, kill, and destroy. They want to steal people's wealth. They want to destroy their homes. They want to destroy their lifestyle and destroy their businesses. And but it's funny because, you know, the old book, and Pastor did a message on that about none dare call it conspiracy, or I can't remember the exact title of the message, but, and the other thing is they don't call that war, you know. I mean, that's just a difference of opinion. So, but it's not a rumor, it's the real deal. I mean, we see that going on in our face all the time.
Yeah, you look at what the way that the protesters were there for a month before the, I believe it was the chief of police and the mayor decided that, you know, they had to get rid of him. And they went in there and they said that it was just disgusting. They said that they had taken boxes of nails and dumped nails all over the place so you couldn't get into the building. There was needles all over the place because they were constantly doing drugs and sharing needles and throwing them on the ground. And the feces were everywhere. And they said that the biohazard in that area was the worst Portland has ever seen.
Yeah, the chickens are coming home to roost.
They are.
Even in San Francisco, they're saying, you know, how it's such a beautiful place and how it's always been a major tourist attraction and huge source of income for the state and all that. And now, you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who wants to go there. Not that I ever wanted to go there, but
right. Well, San Francisco's always been a big convention city, you know, with the rolling hills and the views out across the bay, and I think $9 billion a year for the tourist industry, huge. And you're having major. The most recent was a major medical convention that backed out, that basically said, you know, we've been coming here about every 3 years since the 80s. And they told San Francisco, until you clean it up, we're not coming back. They said their people weren't safe. They've had people mugged. The homeless, the drug users that are just in the tent cities that are just prevalent. And it's that filth also. You know, how many times have we talked about that? We've seen that before in the mainstream media. They reported on it and then stopped reporting, but it hasn't stopped. It just isn't getting reported on as much as the filth of these homeless people and these drug users that are still defecating in the streets, urinating in the streets. They're spending, San Francisco spending millions on in their public works department, on having to come through and pressure wash and clean these streets. You know, where does it end? It's not ending. It's been going on for a few years, and it's just getting worse and worse. Babylon.
Their goal to turn this country into a third world country.
That's their goal. That's right.
And they're succeeding in a lot of areas. They're succeeding. I mean, there's places, Jason can probably attest to that. Minnesota has been overrun by Somalis in certain areas, and it was kind of funny. I heard a story the other day about I think they were either from Somalia or Guatemala or something, and government relocated them into New Jersey, and it was funny because they were complaining that they can't live on the government subsidy in New Jersey, so they're moving to Michigan. So, I mean, talk about it.
Wow.
Oxymoron or whatever. It's pretty crazy. They move them in, they put them in an area, and even these people say that the taxes are too high here, and we can't even, you know, everything's too expensive. We can't even afford to live in New Jersey, so we're going to Michigan. But bad news for Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they said that Detroit looks like a you know, war zone, and it's a one of those relocation centers or whatever for a lot of these illegal aliens and other people coming in. Yeah, they said it was like a Muslim nation. And you know, if you want to know what they're going to do if they come in and if they continue to allow this alien problem to go on, just look at Detroit. I mean, I haven't been up there recently, but if you look at the pictures of Detroit, it's just it's devastating.
Yes.
how destroyed it is.
It is. So, and if you want to see what the next step is, look at Europe, especially England. Look at the UK with their Muslim mayor. And more attacks. They just don't even report them anymore. But when you look in and look at the statistics, it's horrible. Knife attacks up, rapes, sexual assaults. In most parts, it's not just that south part. You know, it's not just that. Oh well, South Denver. You know, even little towns like Fort Collins. You know, South College used to be pretty tough, or North College, I guess, used to be pretty tough little spot. In Fort Collins, and now they've totally revitalized it and four-laned it, and business is moving in, and it's really turned around. And there's places, you know, certain places in Denver. You don't go over there on that east side. You know, you get around there, places in Aurora. You really don't want to be there as a white boy. You don't. But London, it seems like it's getting that way everywhere. The more you look, the worse it's getting, and they are desiring that for here, they all but deny why they have that problem in all the official news reports that you see coming out of the UK, coming out of London. Well, we don't know why rapes are up 47% this year. We just, maybe women are dressing more provocative, and you know, that's the kind of stuff you hear in the mainstream media, and it is for fear that these people have allowed this brainwashing to go on. It's real easy to see why when your illegal immigration has gone up 6,000% in the last 5 years, and they wonder why crime has gone up. It really is no wonder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
it is interesting when Jason talking about Portland over there too. The fact that there's a lot of things like that going on over there, and they've got quite a bit of activity in that Cascadia Fault. Have you guys heard about that? I mean, the Cascadia Fault is extremely active, and there's a lot of concern over that, and that affects Portland and Seattle and Northern California as well. But there's a lot of stress on that and everything else. And it's, there's some fear porn on that as far as, oh, the big one and all that. But I tend to think maybe that's just God saying that needs to be straightened up over there. You know, I mean, I think that a lot of those things are warnings, just like the Blood Moon, and we see these fires, and we see a lot of this other stuff. I mean, I think that it's like, it needs to get cleaned up.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, we continue to see that the things in the dark are brought to the light, and more regarding the past administrations, even into the Bush era, you know, you can start to see the things that our pastor exposed to us through the Holy Spirit many, many years ago, 20 years ago, are coming to light now. And all the things that we used to be looked at as crazy, as conspiracy theorists and things like that, are all
taking place, and people are starting to say, huh, you know, maybe you weren't that crazy, and it's kind of interesting. But going back to the food issues that I think Tim brought up with the salmonella and all the food and all that, I mean, we all know that for the most part, most red-blooded American people won't turn in their weapons if they're instructed to, unless they starve them. And if it comes to a point of feeding their family or holding on to their guns, you know that there'll be a large percentage of people who don't understand the danger in that and will do just that. And I really think that that's the only way that they can bring the masses into submission is through those kind of things. So we need to continue to pray against their plans to starve the people and to thwart, you know, whatever it is, the wickedness that they have planned.
Amen.
For the
that is
confusion
a,
to come into the enemy's camp.
That's right. That is a tactic of the communist, of the socialist. Is that's what they did in Russia when they took over. They just starved the people out. Simple as that. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are things down in Texas today?
Well, they're warm. That's to be expected. And you know I don't like to call in. I get nervous. But when you were speaking about, well, I've heard this, read this article or saw it on the Internet. There were people that were saying we can't get into manufacturing because we don't have the brains for that. We don't have the hands for that. We don't have the people who know how to do that. So we just have to use our brains, and that makes no sense. You know, that we can't use our hands. And when you mentioned the steel industry and a lot of this manufacturing, there are a lot of people that are my age, and I have a brother that retired, and he's 77 now, and his brain works well, and he was in manufacturing. And there are a lot of these older gentlemen my brother meets in coffee. He has coffee every Wednesday with guys that are local, and he's known for years. And they talk about manufacturing, and I've noticed that one thing about it. When I talk to my brother, a lot of them they're angry. They have this, you know, they don't know why. And but they could get back into manufacturing. Their brains all work well. They could teach the younger guys how to do these things, how to apply their hands with their brain. You know, if they would just see that, and when I hear about a lot of these coffee groups we even have locally here, I think, well, I told my brother one day, I said, well, do y'all ever just pray for things to be different, you know? And and that all occurs to me because I know when y'all have coffee, you pray, and if they could just pray for each other just to see what they could do to help in these areas. And there's a lot of them would like to go back to work. You know, they've gone out there, they've taken the trips, and they've done this, and they've done that. Now they're home, and they would like to get their hands back to work. Anyway, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Thanks, Miss Irene. I think she brings up a good point, that there are many that actually a couple good points that are angry and they don't know why. Well, because their country, it has all but been stolen. And the jobs that, like you mentioned, John, that they saw maybe their fathers have that sustained them for their lifetime. And then these people in their 60s and 70s thought that they were going to have that same job opportunity that maybe their father had and their uncles and in these steel mills and in the textiles and the manufacturing that used to be so prevalent in this country. And they've seen that has changed. They've seen these jobs go overseas. They've seen big companies move them down to Mexico and the foreign companies come in and they are mad. They don't understand it. The Bible talks about that. You'll see this. I think that's there in the curses and the blessings back in Deuteronomy 28, that you'll be driven mad at the sight of it. I'm not sure if that's where it is or not, come to think of it, but we see this happening, and this older generation has seen the change. Pastor talked about that quite a bit, back in the 50s and even into the 60s, the way of life in this country, the peace, the security, the safety that was there and that is not there anymore. And this older generation has seen that change. So I can understand them being mad. Is sure. Go ahead.
Goes along with what Sister Irene was saying. Was here this week at our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, where we get together with anywhere from probably 10 to 16 men, depending. The summers seem to fluctuate some. A lot of people have things going on. But we were probably 10 minutes into it this past Wednesday, and an older gentleman walks up to the table and he says, "Well, can I join you?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, absolutely. And how did you hear about it?" You know, and it was kind of strange because we've met there, you know, several years now. And someone who was eating at the establishment on a regular basis, probably on Wednesday mornings, said that there's this group of men that get together on Wednesday morning, and you know, it sounds like they're serious about their walk. And she says she hears them, you know, quoting scripture, and the prayers are powerful. And this gentleman was a relative of that person. He came into town for a month visiting family from Texas, and he asked if they knew of any Bible studies that he could join. So he just shows up out of the blue and joins our Bible study, and we were in Ezekiel 34. And but then the Lord revealed the true reason for it. At the end of those Bible studies, I always ask if anybody has any Bible request or any prayer requests or praise reports, and I write them down and then kind of seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we pray through those issues. And this man had a son that was, I think, 37, that's battling prostate cancer pretty bad, and Lord gave me a powerful prayer for his son, and this gentleman's eyes welled up with tears, and he came over and hugged me, and he said, "Well, where did you learn how to pray like that?" And I said, "Well, I didn't. I said, I just let the Holy Spirit lead." And and I said, "That's why you were here today. You know that, right?" And he said, "Yeah, I know that." And but it was powerful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That's awesome.
You know, our Bible reading today is Hebrews 4 and 5, the New Testament part, and also some Psalms 138 and 139. But Hebrews 4 starts out the believer's rest, and I think it sure applies to these, or can apply today, these people that are mad, that are upset because they don't know. They just don't know why things are this way. And as was mentioned before, we've seen a certain ministry that for the past almost 40 years, coming up in October, it will be 40 years, that the truth has been preached as to why these things are, why you're mad, people, why the remnant is mad, why these things are happening. Just first couple verses here. Hebrews 4 says, "Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.'" When I read that this morning, it popped back up with you guys talking about that. That, see, his rest is for those that believe. His rest, his peace, his comfort, his discernment, his understanding. Those things come by understanding the truth, by having that faith, that assurance of things hoped for, that conviction of things not seen, and that understanding of why these things are happening. That was the strength that Gideon had. That was one of the reasons Gideon was so successful, being the least in his family being the least in the land. But when the angel of the Lord called upon him, I think it was because when you go back and read the story, he understood that it was God that had done this, that it was God's word coming true that had put them in the hands of Midian because of their sin. And when that understanding rolls through today, when it rolls through in our time, in our land, when that understanding happens, because then there's a fix for it. Then the people will understand what the fix is, and that is repentance. That is repentance and returning to God. He is waiting for that. That's the gospel story. But he's waiting for his people to return to him. And when they do, then that believer's rest comes to pass for those that are his, for those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think we see a big difference in those, like it says, that they heard also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it wasn't united in faith in those who heard. They don't believe, they hear it, but it just comes in and out, and it doesn't take root. But for those of us that do, there is that rest, that peace. And praise God, the gospel message still goes out so that others can hear and believe, and not only believe, but obey and do. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And can enter into that rest as well.
Yeah, it's interesting how you see a lot of the swamp turning on President Trump and his cabinet as these good things happen for the people, you know, to the point of calling him a traitor, and, you know, which is exactly what they are if you look at the deeds that were buried in the dark.
They're the traitors
that are being brought to the light. But when you...
They sure are.
You got to understand, too, the fact, though, that before they let the ship go completely down, before they abandon their new world order, they're going to pull out all the stops, too. And there's only one thing that's standing in the way of evil prevailing, and that's God's people who are called by his name that humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And not only that, but those that understand that our main purpose, the main purpose we were called, that we were chosen, is to fulfill the Great Commission and to spread the gospel, the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can do that through these little prayer breakfasts. We got to understand the things that we've been given over the years, if you've been a member of this body for any time, we take them for granted. Those people who have been stuck in the Judeo-Christian churches, they don't understand any of that. They don't have that truth. And they're hungering and thirsting for that truth. Some of them are afraid of it. I told you the story about the one man who said, well, if I don't know this stuff, then I won't be held accountable. Well, it doesn't work that way. If you're given the opportunity to learn the truth and you decide not to because you don't want to be held accountable, well, guess what? God's still going to hold you accountable.
That's right.
It takes so little sometimes, and these guys, they scratch their heads sometimes, and well, where'd you come up with that? How do you figure that? And then you have to be able to show them in the Bible, just like Dad always said, don't believe a word I say, believe what you read, believe the word of God. But when you can show them in the Bible, and it's things that they've never seen before, you know, especially like Ezekiel 3:33, where it talks about that we're to warn those that are living wickedly to turn from their wicked ways. And that was like a new concept to these guys to understand that, well, wait a minute, you mean we have a responsibility? He said, absolutely. I said, you think that your salvation is a great reward? And they all agree, yeah. And I said, well, don't you think with great reward comes great responsibility? And you could see the puzzled look, you know, the dumbfounded look on their face. And yeah. And then I told them, I said, you guys don't take any of this seriously, the stuff I tell you about these morning prayers and evening prayers and canceling satanic assignments and forbidding the enemy to operate in your life and all that. But now you've taken your walk seriously, and when you do, you become a threat to the evil one.
Yes.
One of the greatest sayings that I ever heard, I think, is not a step towards God goes unnoticed by Satan. Now think about that. That means when you are no longer just playing church, let's say, and you're no longer just going with the flow as far as false Christianity that's out there in the world today, when you start taking your walk seriously, when you start looking into the Word of God, when you start asking for the Holy Spirit's guidance, when you ask to have an understanding, hearing, and hearkening heart to the Holy Spirit, you become a threat. And if you know, there's a reason that the Bible is clear. At least many of you become teachers, as you will incur stricter judgment. That's something that every person who's in a position of authority as a teacher, a preacher, a pastor, whatever, should really take to heart, because, you know, it also says in the Bible that judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. And those preachers that aren't preaching the truth because it's not popular, because it harms the offerings, and they're going to be held accountable, and they're the ones that God's going to hold accountable first.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So, exciting times we're living in, that's for sure.
Yes.
Well, and I agree with what Sister Irene said. I mean, the business that that we have men running around, or people running around thinking that we don't have the ability, or we don't have the people here to create manufacturing and everything is to say that or believe that is just a slap in the face of our God, because He gives us every good thing. He gives us awareness, and I think that if you get down to it, some of the greatest inventors and creators were people who were spatially aware and knew that it's not like God is a side note. Well, there could be a God. They knew that there was, and they operate under His laws and under His ideals, and that is how they made the things that they made. And all the machines and everything else that are being used against us over there in, whether it's China or Pakistan or India or whatever other country, they brought them from over here. They came over here, loaded them up, and hauled them over there. And not only that, they can't fix them either. They've got to have our engineers and our mechanics and everything else that go over there and do that. So the reality of it is, it is comical when you think about it. So,
and you talk about, our people are an industrious people on all different kinds of fronts. I mean, everything from having gardens to raising chickens to manufacturing to building things. I mean, that's really in our blood. If you go back, we have that, a lot of German ingenuity blood here in the United States.
You see it, and
it's all of those things are under attack. This year I've talked to people that have gardens. In Washington State, Michigan, Louisiana, all across the country. And it's really interesting is this year the people are having a bad, having gardens are not doing well. Small plants, small root growth, not getting fruit that they need, and it's been really interesting because it's been a pretty common thing is low iron, low calcium, low boron in the soil and in the plants, which even when the soil's been tested, it's testing that it's there. So there's obviously something that's being under attack. I'm thinking that my thoughts are is what they're playing with the frequency machines, HARP. They're doing something there, but it's, gardens are under attack. They don't want people growing their own food. They don't want people self-sufficient. That became real evident to me this week when CBS came out and said backyard chickens sicken people in 44 states. When people with people that believe the snooze media come out and start reading that, a lot of them start getting worried. If we have chickens in our backyard, but it's not necessarily going to scare the people that have the chickens, but it's going to scare their neighbors. Oh, our neighbor's got chickens over there.
That's right.
And that's caused a salmonella outbreak. Here in the city limits in Fort Collins, you actually have to have a permit to have chickens in your backyard. We've talked about that here on the show in the past. But you know, if you look at the numbers, I mean, they say that that it's around 1% of people have access, and that would equate to 1.26 million people in America. When you factor in that the average household is 2.58 people, that would mean that around 3.25 million Americans are exposed to such chickens. If you look at that, that would mean that less than 0.1% of the people would become exposed to backyard chickens. It's the numbers don't add up. If you go with their numbers, that would mean that there is one in 320 would be people that are eating the regular food straight off the market. And right now, it is what they're saying is that one in 320 are going to get sick from eating something off of the food market, from something that you go to the grocery store and get. If you get meat, you get vegetables, if you get eggs, that one in 320 people are going to get sick from salmonella buying, going to the grocery store and doing this. If, you know, here we're supposed to have an outbreak of salmonella in backyard chickens, and that would be one in 15,330. So, I mean, it's not that there is a danger. It's a scare tactic, and it's trying to get people scared of, you know, these backyard chickens. And, oh, you know, now they're even coming out with, I was looking it up. This is an article that Tim sent me that I was quoting some of these numbers off of. They did a really good job. I posted it up on the Newswire if anybody wants to see it. But it, you know, did a really good job of putting the numbers together and putting everything in comparison. But you see that it's an attack on people being self-sufficient. They do not want people self-sufficient. They don't want people having eggs in, getting eggs out of their backyard. But it's also, you know, putting it up that, oh, hey, you know, they could be a terrorist. Oh, they're spreading salmonella. They got a salmonella factory there in their backyard. You know that, don't you? And, I mean, all the neighbors are going to be talking. I mean, there was another article that I pulled up when I was trying to cross-reference this article. And it's, oh, you need to keep track and be aware of those people that have those backyard chickens because they could be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, they might be able to eat when everybody else is starving.
I think we call that fear porn, you know. That's basically what it is. You know, there's odds that you slip in the bathtub or that you're in a car accident. I'm astounded when I look at those statistics because it's like, it's about how much traction they get in the, like you said, in the lamestream media, you know, as far as what they do with them. So.
I read a pretty powerful article the other day. It's, is the time ripe for another Jesus revolution? And I say, yeah, absolutely. And this was an interesting statement by a pastor in Dwight L. Moody's ministry back in February of 1917. It says, let a few of God's people, they don't need to be many, get thoroughly right with God themselves. The rest will count for nothing unless you start right there. Then let them band themselves together to pray for revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. And let them put themselves at God's disposal to use them as he sees fit. That will bring a revival to any church or any community. So in review, get right with God. Get
Amen.
Together with Christians. Pray for revival. And make yourself available to God, especially in winning souls. Now, if you think about it, what I just read is typical, is the blueprint that we have, as a ministry, have adopted as far as hear ye the Lord, asking for an understanding, hearing and hearkening heart, and then to gather in small groups and to pray for revivals, and that the main purpose that we were called and chosen is to reach those that are lost and to bring them to eternal life, to bring them to repentance and restoral and restoration. And I just think it's that's pretty profound. That was 1917.
Amen. Still the same today.
Amen, it is.
Yep.
It is. Well, guys, we're just all but out of time, and want to make sure we get an invite to church out there. We do want to do that. Want to invite you to church. I know we've got hopefully a guest coming up from Denver. Our brother Bruce said he's going to try to make it up there today, tomorrow, as a guest. And if you'd like to join us, if you're going to join us physically, by all means, give us a call, let us know. But you can join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And you can join us right there, scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video streaming, and we'll welcome you there at church. And we'll start out with a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that, as was said, these prophecies, these truths that were preached 20, 30, sometimes 40 years ago, we are seeing them come true. Then they were a warning. They were, hey, if you stay on this path, this is what's going to happen. And we are seeing that happen. And so we encourage you to come and join us. You'll have that. Brother John, looking forward to that live message you're talking about. Looking forward to that. Have certainly been interesting and biblical and scriptural and Holy Spirit inspired. And we'll have communion. We'll gather and remember what our Lord and Savior did for us when he went to that cross, when he redeemed us from the pit and saved us from our sins, yes, but also from the hands of all who hate us and from our diseases as well. And so we will remember and partake of communion as instructed in the Bible to do that very thing. And got a new song for tomorrow as well, so maybe we can get that worked in. Well, men, thanks so much for joining us. And guys, we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
this country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.